Well, today, being day five, we're going to be talking on overcoming adversity. Got a lot to say on this subject. I touched on it before, but, you know, because of all the happenings and different things that are, you know, we see around, we got to bring this again, especially at this time. And it's going to take me 2 days to cover this topic. I'm going to go in depth in it. So I already titled this as part one, because it will take me 2 days to cover this topic. But I want you to come on in here and rejoice in the victory of the Lord. Please go ahead and ping people into the room if you haven't already done so. It'll be a powerful room here this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray again, a quick prayer, and we'll get into the word of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all the brethren that are here and everyone that's participating with us in this time of convocation as we consecrate ourselves before the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the strength. Bible say that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. You know, they shall even mount up with wings as eagles. You know, when they fly, it's going to be by the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. When they run, it's going to be by the strength of the Lord. When they walk, it's going to be by the strength of the Lord. Young men and people who are usually strong may sometimes even fail. The strength may fail them. But he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So as we wait upon the Lord, I pray that we will renew our strength. The Lord will renew our strength in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now, O Lord, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We invite the light from the word of God to shine in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, and he made a profound statement, you know, albeit simple, but profound statement that he made in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 63. And what he said is, he said, look, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But he also said that, but there are some of you that believe not. Well, I pray that there is no one in this room that will believe not any of these words that the Lord gives to us. But you must engage in the spirit. That's what it means. You cannot engage in the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. Most particularly during convocation. When you're pummeling down the flesh, flesh doesn't like it at all. You know, but you engage in the spirit. Engage the word of the Lord in the spirit. So just being there physically in the flesh does not give you any advantage over someone who is not there unless you engage in the spirit. Today, day five, we're going to be talking about overcoming adversity. And I'm putting this out by the grace of God in two parts because there's a lot to go over. So this will be part one. Praise the Lord. First of all, we're going to talk about what adversity is and what overcoming means. You know, so, you know, let's talk about that. Praise the Lord. Then we're going to get into many scriptures and show many aspects of this message. I'm going to come in this message in three different parts, but I'll cover them in two lessons, today and tomorrow. You know, part one will involve just understanding what adversity is, and what overcoming means. And then we're going to go into how to prevent adversity in the first place. Then part two of this message will be, if adversity does come, how do we endure it? Then number three, part of this message will be how to actually overcome adversity. So we're going to be talking about preventing, enduring, and overcoming adversity. Praise the Lord. To overcome means to succeed, according to the dictionary, in dealing with a problem or difficulty. You know, that's overcome. On the other hand, if we do not overcome, then we may succumb or be defeated. Overcome can also mean you defeating the enemy. That's right. You know, you're able to beat the enemy. You're able to get the best out of the situation. You're able to conquer, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, overcome also means that we come out on top of that situation. Praise the Lord. Now, on the other hand, let's talk about adversity for a little bit. And since this subject and this lesson is mostly about adversity, and why are we bringing this at this time? Because we see that the enemy is raging, coming against the people of God in so many different ways. You know, so adversity can be calamities, tragedy, distress, sorrow, sickness, disappointment, failure, difficulties, misfortunes, you know, I mean, you name it. Trouble. Some people even call it bad luck, you know, hardship, all kinds of things, you know, that can happen. You know, so I don't endorse the subject of luck. That's why I said some people call it that. But, you know, those are the things that, you know, are involved when you're talking about adversity. So let's look at what the scripture might say about adversity. Our first scripture today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. And you have heard that we have said and referred to this scripture many times. And there is an insight given here why adversity may come. And I'm going to talk about some other things as well. Adversity, according to this scripture, we're told that there's a reason why God would allow it. But let's read what the scripture says. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider God. This is what he wants you to consider. God has set one over against the other. That means side by side. To the end, a man should find nothing after him. He wants your eyes to be upon him. So, why does God allow us to have both prosperity and adversity? Well, when we have prosperity, he said rejoice. When things are going well, he said rejoice. He said, but remember, you know, just as surely as you are enjoying prosperity, there will be adversity. Now, this is not being a prophet of doom. This is calling it the way it is. I always go back to the beginning when I talk on this subject. Because from the beginning, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. But we see that God had an opportunity. It was an opportunity for him to abolish darkness, but he did not. All he did was made a cycle of darkness and light. And then again, darkness and light. And then again, darkness and light, and so on and so forth. He could have abolished the darkness once and for all, just obliterated it, just, you know, removed it completely, you know, but he did not. And he might have said something like, let there be light and let the darkness be no more. And if he would have said that, that would have been the end of the darkness. But contrarywise, he said no such thing. All he said was the first part, let there be light. And he stopped right there. And when he saw the light, he liked it. He said it was very good. Well, but he also, it seemed like he also had a purpose for the night and the darkness, because he actually gave it a name. The darkness he called night. The light he called day. Well, if God gave a name to something, he must have had a purpose in his mind that he allowed it, and he also named it. He had a chance, an opportunity to eradicate it, but he did not. That was right from the beginning, even before man was created. So we see that God already knew that it's going to be these cycles, even allowed them to be like that. He will give a name to the, you might call the night, the troublous times. You might call the day the prosperous times. You might call the night the adversity. And you might call the day the prosperity. Sometimes you'll be in the light, and sometimes you'll be in the dark. This happens to everybody. You'll be sometimes on top of the mountain, and sometimes you'll be in the valley. Sometimes things are going well. The next thing you know, everything's going upside down. The devil comes at you in so many different ways. Try to pummel you and make sure that, you know, you lose your joy. He steals everything from you and so forth. And so people, with the intent that people might be discouraged. You know, so, and that's what we want to address here today. Now, why does adversity come? Number one, this scripture that we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14 tells us that God allowed it so that we can always turn back to him. You know, sometimes if everything is going good and everything is always going well, people may forget the Lord, to cry unto the Lord. So the Lord allowed it. He said he put it side by side to the end that people will find nothing but him, so that your heart will always turn back to the Lord. So that's one reason why he allowed it. You know, let's talk about a few other reasons why we see from the scriptures. You know, sometimes people looking from the outside at people who are, at others who are going through adversity, they may be quick to judge, you know. And we see stories like this in the Bible, and even how the Lord showed it to us and addressed it. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, we see a contest that will ensue, you know, between really the Lord and the devil. It wasn't even the devil and Job, it was the Lord and the devil. That was like a bet. You know, the Lord was bragging about Job and say, hey, have you seen or considered my servant Job? That there is none like him, a man that feareth God and escheweth evil and all these things and so forth. And the Lord was bragging about him. There's nobody like him in the earth, a perfect man, upright man, feareth God, escheweth evil, who have no part of evil. And the devil said, is that right? You know, the devil, I mean, that shrewd old serpent, always having something to say against the Lord, challenge the Lord, challenge everything that God has in place for God's people. I mean, all that God saw about Job was goodness, righteousness, perfection, and a man that hates evil. That's all that God saw. But the devil said, well, I'll tell you something. You think of him like that, but I'm going to find something. You know, isn't it because you have made a hedge around him, about his house, about all that he has on every side, and you have blessed the work of his hands and his substance. You have increased in the land and so forth. Isn't that the reason why, you know, I mean, you see him as a perfect and upright man and one that fears God and does all these good things? Isn't it because you blessed him? In other words, it is because he is in prosperity. It is because things are good for him. That's why he is able to walk uprightly before the Lord. That's what the devil is saying. And so there was a challenge here. And the Lord said to the devil, you know, because the devil said, look, I guarantee you, if you put forth your hand now and reverse that good hand of blessing that you had upon him and touch everything that he has, you know, let there be negative happenings to him. Let there be adversity. Let there be situations that he cannot handle. If you do that, I guarantee you, he will curse you to your face. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the audacity of the devil talking to the Lord like this. Yeah, but that's who he is, you know. And the Lord said unto Satan, okay, well, let's see. Why don't you go forth and try it? You can put forth all you have in your hand, but, you know, don't touch him. So he went from the presence of the Lord. Now, so you see something here. Now, Job did not know this at first until later the Lord revealed it to him. Neither did the people that were around him know it. When calamity suddenly started to happen to him. And actually, people thought that he must have done something wrong. His friends, closest people to him, his acquaintances, thought that he must have done something wrong. And they even challenged him, chided him, and said, look, you are the ones that always encouraged people in the past. You're the one that always told them there's a lifting up and so on. You know, now, you know, things have happened to you, and look at you. You are downcast, you know. I mean, you're almost giving up. But did you know, let's think about it, they said, that nothing evil ever happens to anybody good. It must have been something you did. I mean, look at that. So people always thought that, you know, when evil things suddenly come upon somebody, that they must have been at fault. This is what people think. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 9, there is a story in verses 1 and 2 of a man who was born blind. And the disciples went so far as to ask the Lord this very question. This man, who is now 40 years old, had never seen the light of day one day in his life. What was it that was behind this? Was it the parents that sinned? Or was it this man that sinned? You know, so because this stuff is always in people's mind when stuff happens. You know, and let's look at the answer that Jesus gave. And this answer, you know, well, it was one day that I considered this answer, and it was a very, very difficult thing for me, you know, to understand. This was many years ago, you know, until the Lord gave me the grace to understand it. It was one of the most difficult scriptures that I've ever read, even till this day. You know, I said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that made him to be born blind? And Jesus said, neither had this man sinned, nor yet his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That was the part that was very troubling for me for a long time when I was a young man. So the Lord gave me wisdom and understanding. You know, I mean, are you kidding me? This man didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. This evil came unto him not because of anything they did. But consider this statement, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And it took 40, he had to suffer through this thing for 40 years. And you're telling me that this was so that the works of God could be made manifest in him? Ah, I struggled with that for a long time when I was young, much younger than this, you know. I was like, couldn't there be some other way, Lord, that you could have made the works of God manifest in this man? I mean, why? They have to go through 40 years of this thing. But who art thou, O man, that he appliest against God? For thou art the clay, and he is the potter. And who art thou that questioneth with the God, the creator of the heaven and the earth? Will thou question the Almighty? let me tell you this. If your life is blessed with prosperity and quietness and tranquility and assurance, then you better praise the Lord. But don't turn aside and look at somebody that their life may be riddled with difficulties, challenges, one battering after another, and think for one moment that it is because they did something wrong, because you don't know. In fact, after a while, the Lord had to deal with the three friends of Job, because of the way that they were approaching the situation. And even after a while, Job himself got carried away into their, all of the things that they were challenging him about. And he started thinking, why, and so forth. So the Lord had come at him and asked him a lot of questions and said, look, you think you know, you think you understand things? Well, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a few questions. If you think you have understanding that you can stand up against the Almighty and challenge me, well, let me ask you a few questions. And the Lord began to tell him, three chapters in the book of Job, where the Lord began to ask him, said, look, guard up your loins as a man. I will ask you questions. If you think you know, well, tell me, first of all, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, do you know the length and the breadth thereof? Upon what do I hang the stars, the constellations, the earth? How did I make the heavens and these things and so forth? And what's holding them in place? Answer me if you know. Praise the Lord. Don't mess with the Lord now, because the Lord might come at you like that. And the Lord, he came at Job. He said, look, all these things that I can do by myself, how much of it can you do? And if you can't, why are you questioning with me? can you call out Leviathan? can you do these things? Can you bring forth Mazaroth and his sons? Do you understand the movings of the Pleiades, sir? Can you set the ordinances of heaven? Do you understand how they even work? Do you know how the ordinances of heaven have dominion upon the earth? Where were you when all the, morning stars, sang together and all the sons of God rejoiced before the Lord? Way before I even created the world, they were there. Can you understand how the lamb was slain before the world even began? That's my own thing. I put that in there. Can you understand these things? And Job put his hand to his mouth. See, so ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. When you see people prospering, or you see people being battered down with difficulties, just put your hand over your mouth. because you don't know either way, what the reason of these things are. There are some things, that the Lord said to Job, stand still and consider and let's see what you know. Who caused the light of the cloud to shine, or light to shine out of the cloud? Said, do you know the balancings of the cloud? Do you know that? He began to ask him many of these things. He said, when the wind passes and does this thing, when fair weather comes, or when, bad weather comes, do you know how all these things happen? So he said, look, finally, they said, well, as touching the Almighty, we cannot even find him out. He is excellent in power. That's Job 37 and verse 23. Plentiful in justice. He will not afflict. Therefore, men need to fear before him, and so forth. And then the Lord come back and talk to Job out of the whirlwind and said, look, why are you darkening counsel with words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins now as a man, and I will demand of you, and answer me if you think you know anything. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. Who laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, tell me. Upon who did I stretch the line? Who stretched the line of it? Whereupon are the foundations of the earth fastened? Declare it if you have understanding. Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Were you there? Did you know all these things? Who shut up the sea with his doors and that he break forth and, you know, put a boundary on it and so forth? You know, when I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and take darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break, you know, and said, look, set the bars, go forth and no further. When I set the boundary for the seas, you know, where were you? You know, and, you know, how do I make the proud waves of the sea to be stayed? And you tell me, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Can you command the morning to come forth and let the morning do what, you know, this way or that way? Can you do it? Can you take a hold of the ends of the earth, you know, so that the wicked can be shaken out of it? Can you do these things? And the Lord began to just ask him, you know, so many things. Have you ever entered into the springs of the sea? By reading this chapter, you will even discover hidden things, hidden gems that people don't even understand. You know, people don't even know that the springs of the sea. You say, have you walked in the search of the depths? You know, have you even understood the gates of death? Have they been opened unto you? Have you seen even the shadows of death? Do you understand it? Have you perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare it if you know it all. The Lord challenged you. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place of it? You know, can you shake it? I mean, can you know the paths? Do you understand it and so forth? Because were you born when I commanded the light to shine? I mean, are your numbers, the number of your days, that great? Were you there? Has thou entered into the treasures of the snow? There are treasures in the snow, ladies and gentlemen. You know, have you entered into these treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, and I know when to use them? You know, I mean, I have reserved these things against the day of battle and against the day of war. Do you know by which way light is parted? And how the east wind is scattered upon the earth? Do you know these things? Who has divided the water course and the flowing of the waters? And, you know, do you understand the way of the lightning that comes out of thunder? Do you know it? I mean, can you cause it to cause rain upon the earth where there is no man? I mean, how should rain even go in a place where there is nobody? Do you understand why that happens? Or in the wilderness where there is nobody, and yet I send rain there? Do you understand these things? You know, so that I can satisfy the desolate and waste ground and cause it to bud and have the tender herb to spring forth so that it perish not. Do you know whether rain has a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice? Do you know these things? Do you know how the hairy frost of heaven and all the ice and snow, where it comes from? You know, do you understand these things? Do you know why even the face of the deep sometimes is frozen? You know, can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Up to this time, Job didn't even know there was such a thing. Can you loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Mazzaro? I mean, these constellations that are in the heavens, Master and his seasons. You know, can you guide Arcturus with his songs? God is even telling you that, you know, some of these stars and constellations and different things, they, you know, God looks at them as, you know, generations and songs and stuff. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof upon the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds and cause abundance of water to come upon you? Can you say to lightnings, go and come and so forth, and lightning will answer you? Can you thunder with a voice like the Almighty? You know, and so on and so forth. Read the whole chapter of Job 38. Powerful stuff. And why? All of these things were because someone dared to think that, oh, some evil that happened. Why? And so on and so forth. And the Lord said, look, let me ask you something. You know, tell me if you know these things. So, ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. Don't you ever you know, try to think that you know and you understand why things happen to people. You know, good things come to bad people. The Lord is saying it here. I send rain on the desert that doesn't even deserve it. You know, and yet bad things happen to good people. Jesus even said, look, be like the children of your father, because he causes his rain to fall upon both the wicked and the righteous. You know, so these things happen, ladies and gentlemen. It is not necessarily because the person did evil or was careless, but I'm going to deal with that in a bit. So don't second, you know, guess anything. Don't think anything in your heart when you see anything. You know, just be prayerful and pray for those who are going through, because you don't know why. But we know some things too, because we see from the story of Job what I mean by you don't know. You don't know that the person did anything wrong, but it could be the enemy's attack. And most of the time, that's exactly what it is. Enemy's attack is exactly what it is. You know, but I'm going to also cover some other things, why calamities may come and how to prevent this set of things that I'm now about to talk about. You know, the ones that happened because, like in the case of Job, there was nothing anybody could do about it. There was no way Job could have prevented what happened. His righteousness did not even prevent it. You know, I mean, the high standing that he had with God did not even prevent it, because Job was a trophy in a contest between the Lord and the devil. The Lord had some good things to say about Job. Well, the devil said, well, let me put forth my hand. You will see that all of that will change. So Job was absolutely a trophy in this bet, if you will, and this contest, you know. So there was nothing he could have done. He could not have been any more righteous to prevent this thing. It happened to him nonetheless, because there was something going on that he knew nothing about. However, that being said, there are also some things that we need to understand. We also already understand here how the devil comes against people, even when they are doing well. We've seen that. And Jesus made this statement in John chapter 10, verse 10. Talks about the thief, the devil, what his role is when he comes. See, the devil, the thief, he comes. He has these three things in mind. You know, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that's it. And I guarantee you, he's been doing it for thousands of years. He knows how to do it. You know, steal your joy, frustrate you, kill your dreams, even kill you physically, destroy your life even if he can. You know, those are the things that he does. And the Lord said, look, but I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So there's a contrast here. There's something that the devil does, and he does it too. And so we see that one way, one reason why calamity can come, it's not necessarily because the person did wrong. It could just be because the enemy is attacking. Now, there's also some things that can come through carelessness. I want to talk about that for a minute. There are some things that we can prevent that are in the realm of carelessness that Satan takes advantage of. We can prevent some of those things. The other one that I already talked about, you can't prevent that. But some things that we can prevent. So let's consider some of these scriptures that I'm about to read to you now. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Now, there is some wisdom that is revealed in this place. You know, if you break a hedge, you know, there may be a hedge around you. Just like the devil said to the Lord, say, look, you put a hedge around it. Now, if you break that hedge, the serpent, remember, the serpent is coiled up, always coiled up like that. you know, like a viper waiting to strike. And even he's going around looking for whose hedge is broken. We see that lesson and that warning given to us, you know, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. And we see that lesson that is given to us, you know, in verse 8 of 1 Peter 5. Be sober. You know, don't be careless. Be on your, you know, guard. You know, and so forth. Have your antennas up and be vigilant. Now, so that means if you are not sober, you're just careless, just doing anyhow. If you are not vigilant, the devil may get you. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. You know, that means he's looking for where the hedge may be broken. When the hedge is fully around you, he can't strike. So he's looking, going around, looking for who may devour. And when he finds a broken hedge, he will come in there and strike. But the Bible says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. So you know that these same afflictions are accomplished by all your brethren that are in the world. All the things that devil throws against you, it's not only you. Well, how does he go about? I've told the story of the prowler, the lion, the tiger, the cheetah, you know, all of these things, the puma that are waiting to prey on animals. And when they see a pack of deer around the water side and they're crawling ever so closer, and the lion, he's very good at it, just very stealthily just crawling inside those grass, hiding himself, getting closer, but he's looking, he doesn't know who to attack because there's about 50 of them or so. Who do I attack? You know, he's just looking. When they're in a pack like that, it's like a hedge. The numbers give them protection. And they are like that. And so the devil is looking, you know. We'll see the one that will stray away. That's why when people stay away from fellowship, you become an easier target. You know. So that lion is waiting. Crawling. That leopard, he's crawling. He's getting closer. He's looking. But he's patient. He's just looking. Because he can't attack them when they are in a bunch like that. And he wait. You know. He can wait. Hours. Where else wait? But one thing happens suddenly. Suddenly, one of those deer leaves the pack and wanders away. Now, all of a sudden, that one does not have the protection of the pack. And this prowler is going to zero in on that animal. And he's dead meat. You know? So he's prowling, looking for whom he may devour. But he can't devour them right there because they are in a pack. They've got strength in numbers. You know, and so forth. You know? I've even seen, watching on National Geographic and all these Earth series and so forth. I love to watch those things. How these, you know, predators will attack some of these animals. And they come and fight him off when there are many. But if it's one, if it's just one animal, sometimes it's hard, you know. And anyway, he's always prowling, looking for whom he may devour. Ladies and gentlemen, this scripture also gives us insight that the devil cannot devour everybody. He can't do it, you know. If he were able to devour everybody, he wouldn't look. He would just prowl on everybody and devour them all. But he can't do it. There are some people he cannot devour. And we're going to be getting to that in this series. But then there are some people that he can. And the difference is the hedge is broken. The difference is they've lost the protection. And so he can get in there. So we'll be talking about that protection. We'll be talking about how to prevent some of that. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and verse 3, the scripture also gives us insight. You know, this insight is very valuable. He He said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. You know, so, but the simple person are not punished. So it means that, look, by foreseeing the evil, by thinking ahead, by looking before you leap, you may not fall into the ditch. Now, if you don't look and you just leap, you may fall into the ditch. And then when you fall into the ditch, you start to cry unto the Lord for the Lord to pull you out of the miry clay. And he will. If you have faith, you know, and you cry for his mercy, he will pull you out eventually, but you will have suffered. And you could have avoided that if you use some wisdom in the first place. So we see that faith gets you out of any situation. You have your powerful faith enough, God will pull you out. But if you use wisdom, you might have avoided falling into that ditch in the first place. When you use wisdom, that's what's called a prudent man. Prudence is one of the pillars of wisdom. When you use prudence, you know, you can avoid many pitfalls. You look ahead, you foresee the evil, you check out your surroundings, you be vigilant, and you be sober. You don't just go carelessly. The careless ones are easy targets for the devil. Carelessness means prayerlessness. The prayerless ones are easy targets for the devil. Now, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12, you know, tells you, you know, pretty much the same thing. So you see that this scripture is repeated, you know, in two places to, you know, buttress the point. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but a simple person and are punished twice now in these two places that he says it. So to make emphasis on that point. So if you are prudent, now we talked about prudence when we did the pillars of wisdom. There's a lot of things that you can be prudent about. And there's a lot of things that through lack of prudence, you can suffer. You know, so when this sheep that I talked about, I mean, or the deer walks away from the pack, they will get into trouble. Now, even in the case of a sheep and a shepherd, the shepherd, you know, if he's just kind of shepherd like David, you know, David will fight for everything. I mean, he won't. I mean, Jesus was talking about the good shepherd. He said the good shepherd lays down his life for the flock and so forth. But the hireling shepherd runs away when the wolf comes. You know, so this good shepherd is able to fight. And if something got taken, he'll go after it, find it and bring it back. But let me tell you something that will happen to the sheep that is lost and wandering away. Before the shepherd finds him and brings him on his shoulder and brings him back and everybody rejoices, he will suffer. He will suffer. You know, he will suffer. You know, and he will suffer a loss. He will suffer loneliness. He will suffer maybe even dehydration, maybe all kinds of things. Maybe he will suffer in danger. I have to run from this and that. Eventually, the good shepherd might find him and bring him. But during that time that he's gone astray, he will suffer before the Lord, I mean, the shepherd finds him, you know. So that's something, that's a lesson, you know, to learn, you know. You know, and the psalmist, you know, I love the way he puts many of these things, you know. And he understood that these things can happen. And he said, you know, in the book of Psalm 119, that's a long psalm, you know, he said in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep thy word. So, even though I have said that, look, affliction doesn't always come before because somebody does wrong. But sometimes affliction can come because they go astray. It's right here in this scripture. Before I was afflicted, so we're trying to balance this, I went astray. You know, now that sheep that went astray left the flock. they will be afflicted, you know, before the shepherd comes to the rescue. But, you know, the shepherd will come to the rescue eventually, but they will have suffered a lot. So that's a lesson to learn. Psalm 119, verse 67. It's a good lesson for us to memorize. You know, that could be one reason why people are afflicted, because they went astray. You know, now, that's not always the reason. I already declared that. But that could be a reason too. Now, how do you prevent some of these preventable adversities? Like I said, not all of them are preventable. But the ones that are preventable from these scriptures that we have read, well, number one, keep your hedge intact. Let there be nothing broken. Let there be no cracks. Hallelujah. In our series on the pillars of wisdom, we dealt about cracks. You know, those cracks that cause all these afflictions and sufferings and setbacks and different things. And how those cracks need to be fixed. Now, you have to go listen to those series. But that was that. But also here, I'm talking about a crack in the hedge. You know? And if there is a crack and the devil finds enough room to get in there and strike. So those cracks need to be closed up. It also means set your boundaries. That's what it means. Set your boundaries. Don't let there be a gap for the enemy to sneak in there. This can cut across all spheres of life, even in relationships, in marriage, in, you know, these things and so forth. You don't set your boundaries right, devil will come there and bring temptation and all these kind of things. You know, so you must close the gaps. Don't leave anything for the devil to take advantage of. You know, Paul says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. And I've often wondered, you know, I think Paul said that, but people quote that. But I guarantee you, a lot of people are ignorant of the devices of the devil. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, you know, Paul made this statement. Many people quote it, but unfortunately, many people are actually ignorant of the devices of the devil, and they allow Satan to take advantage of their own carelessness, prayerlessness, foolishness, and so on and so forth. You know, he said, look, lest Satan should take an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, can you say that? Is it your testimony that you are not ignorant of the devices of the devil? Unfortunately, many people are actually ignorant. Now, there are some things, the carelessness, the prayerlessness, and so forth. You know, those can be easily remedied. It's not easy on the flesh, but it can be remedied. You can remedy prayerlessness by being more prayerful. You can remedy carelessness by being more watchful, you know, and being more vigilant and being more sober. You can remedy those things, you know. And all the things that the devil will bring and can bring, we can remedy them by being more prayerful. Now, we don't know that prayer will avert everything, but it can avert a lot of things. And there's a lot of testimonies that I've heard. And you get up in the morning, you can make concerted prayer for yourself or your family, for your brethren, you know, rather than just get up in the morning. Some people say, well, I don't have time to pray. Well, you don't have time to not pray. That's the way I say it. Because if you rush out and you don't pray and spend time in prayer, the devil has a lot of time planning and waiting to set traps for you. But, you know, if you pray, you may avoid many of those pitfalls. You know, there is a powerful, powerful rendition in Psalms 91 of how the Lord will bring protection. But let me ask you this. Do you think that we automatically get all that protection? I mean, we covered this yesterday. Just because the Lord promised something, does that mean you will just automatically get it? Just because the Lord said, look, there shall no evil before you, neither shall any plague come near you. He will give his angels charge over you. He will watch over you. He will do this and he will do that. You know, you will see 1,000 fall this way and 1,000 that way, only with your eyes vision. All these wonderful promises that he gives. He will deliver you from, you know, the pestilence, the arrow that walketh in, you know, the daytime, darkness and all these things in Psalm 91. All those beautiful promises, do you think that you're just going to get them without praying through for those things? Think again, because you have to listen to yesterday's lesson if you missed it. We covered that already. Those promises are not just going to fall in your lap unless you pray them through. So prayer, persistent, effectual prayer of praying through. Jesus himself did the same thing. Jesus already knew before the world began that he's going to bring many sons to glory. He already knew it. But yet, he had to pray. He was always getting up early in the morning and going to the mountain and praying. The disciples would be looking for him. They'll find him later. But he has spent many hours in praying already. Before he even chose his disciples, he spent hours in prayer. You know, when he was in the garden, finally, he knew that this is the last leg of this battle. He prayed until blood was coming out of his head like sweat. Why? He already knew he had the victory from before the world began. Why did he have to pray? You know, this is how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. We got to pray these protections upon ourselves. The Lord will give charge over, his angels charge over you that you dash not your foot against any stone, but you still dash your foot against a stone. I am the Lord that healeth you, but you still get sick. You know? Unto them that fear my name, Malachi 4 and 2, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. But you are still struck down with sickness. You know, on and on and on. I can go on and claim all those, you know, what you might call oddities. You know, oddities or paradoxes of life. God said one way, but exactly the opposite happens to you. Well, that tells us that we have got to and pray and pray and be more prayerful. So you get up in the morning, you spend more time in prayer. If you don't have enough time, then get up a little earlier and pray more and pray more specific. I believe that, look, if we pray more, we will be more prudent. We will see more. I believe the Lord is able to show us things to come. If we pray more or help us avoid, you know, some pitfalls, if we pray more. All of us are guilty of this, myself included. We can use more time in prayer, you know, but God will help you avoid many things, you know, some things, if you pray more. Not all things are avoidable, but most things, if we can pray more, you know. So we need to pray. We need to pray. Impending danger sometimes can be averted through prayer. And the Lord may show you, you know, if you are drawing near to the Lord, he can even reveal things to come to you, either by dream, by vision, or otherwise. Even the angel of the Lord can step in and do something to prevent you from evil, you know, if you are more prayerful. And we see that even, you know, the Lord can save us through dreams and through all kinds of things. You know, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us how the life of the little boy Jesus, you would think that this Jesus is the Son of God already. Why would even anything evil threaten his life? It's already the Son of God. There's nothing that can threaten his life. Well, that's what you think. Son of God or not, a lot of things can threaten your life. And this young child, his life was threatened when he was young. Because Herod was determined to kill all the children. Since he heard the news from the wise men that, you know, we've seen the star of a son born to be king of the Jews. It's like king. There's no king but Caesar. That's treason. Gonna kill them all. You know, and the Lord had to come by dream. to Joseph and said to him, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. You know, and stay there until I bring you word again. Because there are some that seek the life of the young child to destroy him. Are you telling me that it was possible for the devil to have gotten a hold of the Christ and destroyed him when he was a boy? Absolutely. Otherwise, this story would not be here. You know. And so by God coming to Joseph in a dream, showing him what to do, giving him the escape route, he was able to escape and cause the life of this child to be protected. And that was a destiny helper right there. The destiny of the child was to become the savior of the world. But he couldn't do it if he was killed at age 2 or age 1. You know, so, you know, these things are in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. And God can protect, but it takes, you know, sometimes it will take direction. Sometimes it will take instruction from the Almighty. But if we're not paying attention, we're not prayerful, we may not even get it. You know, but of course we know that this one, I mean, this was destiny, you know, and providence was going to protect that destiny. So there was no way in the world that God's eternal purposes will be, you know, thwarted and defeated. You know, but so God was going to make sure providence will watch over your destiny. So in this case, providence was watching over the child. But what I'm bringing out of this lesson is God used natural means to protect this child and preserve his destiny. So God can use natural means. Natural means could be don't go there or go over here. You know, in this case, it was go over here. Take the child and run over there. In another case, maybe don't go. Don't leave your house just yet. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Holy Spirit might tell you that. You know, and if we are not sensitive and paying attention, we may pay the price. You know, so these things are so. And they are in the scriptures. And this is the word of wisdom to us today. The word of wisdom is telling us that number one, when you see calamity, don't assume it was because they did wrong. It might not be anything to do with it at all. We proved that already from the scriptures. But yet, number two, we are seeing that some calamity may come through carelessness, like causing the hedge to be broken and not fixing it, you know, and not being prayerful enough and so on and so forth. You know, there may be all kinds of things. We may even go astray. The psalmist said, when I went astray was when I was afflicted. And so on and so forth. And, you know, so we have seen all of that. One other way to prevent adversity is to put on the full armor of God. You know, because look, the devil is looking of how to strike. You know, it's the same thing like the hedge. He's looking of where to strike. So cover yourself fully so he cannot find any empty place to strike through. The full armor of God is described to us in the ultimate warrior. You can see what the ultimate warrior looks like in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, it said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and so on and so forth. And began to describe all the things they should clad themselves with, from their head to the toe, and even the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the girdle of truth, and the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of Christ, and all these things. You know, you put on the full armor of God, you know, then there's nobody that goes to battle without an armor. In fact, that's why the king was surprised when David was about to go to battle against Goliath without an armor. He said, you can't do that. This man has, look at him, look at the armor, look at the shield, look at all the things. You know, so the king gave him his own armor and everything, put it on David, and David collapsed because the armor was too small. He couldn't even do it. He said, look, I can't use this. I got to go to the place that I'm comfortable with. Hallelujah. So he went back to that place, you know, where he used to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside the green waters and the green pastures and beside the still waters. So he went back to that still waters. And he was there, and the Holy Spirit guided him. His hand, he picked out 5 stones, smooth stones from the brook. And he said, I can use this. And everybody looking like, this boy must be crazy. And even Goliath said the same thing. He must be crazy coming out with a bow. I mean, not even a bow, with a slingshot, you know, that thing. And stones and all of that. I mean, it was like, he just disdained him. But well, you know, that's how he did it. But the story I'm trying to bring, what I'm trying to bring out of that story is that, no, generally speaking, nobody goes to battle without any defense system. I mean, you have your, you know, artillery for attacking, but you also have your defense systems. Praise God. Even in modern military warfare, you know, everybody has, you know, one thing or the other. They can shoot missiles and they have anti-missile. They send drones. They have anti-this and anti-that. There's always defense systems. So don't let your defense system be weakened through prayerlessness. How do you beef up your defense system then? That's what we're doing in this convocation week. So one of the ways you beef it up, you beef it up by going into prayer. You know, not just missing a few meals, you know. Fasting without prayer is just missing meals, you know. So you pray. Hallelujah. That's how you do it. Jesus told his disciples, pray, lest you enter into temptation. But they didn't pray. They fell asleep. Came again, said, pray. They didn't pray. They fell asleep. Told them again, pray. But finally said, okay, fine. You know, sleep on now. And then they all fell into temptation. They all deserted him. Even the one that bragged and boasted and pounded his chest and said, all others may do it, I will never do it. Well, he did it. He denied the Christ 3 times within a very short space of time. And then the Lord looked at him. You know, when he did it the second time, I mean the third time, the cock crowed the second time. The Lord looked at him. The Lord looked over there. And Peter knew, said, yeah, I have done the unthinkable. I've denied the Christ. Well, the Lord said, you're going to do it if you don't pray. And he said, no, I will never. See, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. In his spirit, he said, I will die if I have to die for you. Lord said, really? Said, well, I tell you, before the cock crows 2 times, you would have denied me 3 times. Peter said, I'll never do it. Jesus just walked away. He said, no more after that. But you see, instead of praying, when he should have been praying, he was sleeping. When they should have been fasting, they were eating. And Jesus even defended them and they were happy. Because everybody said, why are the disciples of John and the Pharisees fasting and yours are eating? Jesus said, well, can they fast when the bridegroom is with them, the children of the bride chamber? Say no. But when the bridegroom is taken for them, then shall they fast in those days. Well, so Jesus is telling us that, look, prayerlessness, fastlessness, if I can use that word, when you don't fast, you know, all of these things can cause problems. As he said in Matthew 17, that, look, you know, verse 21 and so on, you know, some of these things cannot go out except by fasting and prayer. But one time they said, why couldn't we cast this thing out? And said, well, number one, because of your unbelief. That's right. But number two, howbeit, he said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17 and 21. So, prayer and fasting can strengthen us and can make us to be more, you know, prepared for the day of adversity. So, we need to be prayed up, is what I'm trying to say here. You know, consider when the disciples were in the boat when Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, let us cross over to the other side. We see a stark difference between one that was prayed up and the others that were not prayed up. The one that was prayed up being Jesus the Christ himself, you know, he was prayed up. He didn't care whether there was going to be storm or adversity or tempest or this and that. He just went to the back of the boat and laid on a pillow and was sleeping. Now the others that were not prayed up, they panicked. You know, so panic will set in the face of impending adversity or trouble when you are not prayed up. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, when the trouble starts, that's when people start to pray. We've seen or heard stories of people that don't care anything about praying. And then when they're in the plane and they suddenly drop into this, this air hole and this turbulence and so forth, you know, and the turbulence going on for long, they start to cry out to the Lord. You know, God save us, God save us. But you could have prayed up. You could have prayed before you took that trip. Prayed and be satisfied that God has averted that difficulty and that trouble that will come before you even go on that trip, you know, and then, you know, you are assured of his protection. You know, I think if we did more prayer, spend more time, I'm not saying that 100% of it will be averted, but I'm saying that a lot of it could be averted. Spend a lot of time in advance praying about situations that may develop. And then, you know, if you don't know, pray in the Holy Ghost too. Cover everything. Cover your life. Cover your past. Cover your future. Cover the path ahead of you with the blood of Jesus. Pray. Remember, Revelation 12 and 11. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That's one powerful thing. Use the blood of the Lamb. You may not understand, and nobody really knows because that scripture doesn't explain how they overcame him by the blood. It doesn't explain it. It just says it. So you may not know it, but the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Use it. Use the blood. We see one story where in Exodus, the Lord told them, put the, you know, pattern of the blood upon the doorposts of your house. And when the destroyer is passing over, when he sees that, he will move over, you go to the next place. So we see that even covering yourself, covering your family, covering your house, covering your things that pertain to you with the blood can cause the devourer to pass you over. We see that. Use the blood. Use the blood. Use the blood. And also the word of your testimony. What that word is useless if it is not baked in the light, which is the word of God. You cannot testify anything unless it's the word of God. According to Lamentation 3 and 37, who is it that saith anything and it comes to pass when it is not what the Lord has already said or commanded? So when you are going to use the word of your testimony, the only way it works is if that thing is baked in the word. This word shall not depart out of your mouth. That becomes your testimony. The word of God becomes your testimony. You declare that word. You declare that word. And along with prayer and fasting, you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. You are more likely to avoid some adversities. This is part one of overcoming adversity. And I have covered what adversity is and what overcoming means. I've covered, you know, why adversity comes. Don't always think that it's because somebody did something wrong. But I've also covered the fact that God allows adversity. We see that in Ecclesiastes 7:4. We see the fact that God put the light there and left the darkness in place as well. And we've seen what Psalm 30 and verse 5 says. Let me drop that right here before we round up for today. Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells us that sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. So we see this cycle of night and day. We see the cycle of the day breaking at some point in time. And I often use that scripture to encourage people. When you are in your night season, think of it this way. That night cannot last forever. At some point in time, that day must break. So we have something to look forward to. There is going to be the breaking of day. And it has been said that, you know, it will be darkest just before the day breaks. So, in our situation, what is our time of light? And what is our time of dark? Light is when you are hearing the word of God. God is speaking. His voice is coming through. You're on top of the mountain. Things are good. You are blessed. And your business is moving. Your job is doing well. You are in health and all those things. That's, you are in the light then. You are in prosperity. Adversity is when there is the reverse of all of that. All of a sudden, gloominess and heaviness comes upon you out of nowhere. Things are not going well with your job. People are against you. You start getting involved with accidents, sickness, disease, and all these things. You know, that's being in darkness. Even if not for yourself, it'd be for a loved one. It'd be bad news, these things and that thing. You know, those are all the darkness hours. Well, those will be there. Mountains and valleys will be there. But in this lesson, before we are through, we're going to find out how to run through troops, you know, climb over walls, break through barriers, overcome adversity. Sometimes you have to endure the adversity, and sometimes you can actually, you know, prevent it. Preventing is the part we dealt with today. Tomorrow we're going to deal with how to endure it if it actually does come and how to overcome it, you know. So enduring it alone is not good enough. You must come out on top. At the end, you must come out as an overcomer. So we're going to be talking about that as well. May the Lord bless his word into our hearts. So that's it for today. Today's lesson, day 5 of our convocation week. We're talking about overcoming adversity. And this is part 1. Tomorrow we will cover part 2. And I will be dealing with how to endure adversity if it does come. We don't pray for adversity, you know, but we got to prepare for it. Some people say, well, you know, hope for the best, but plan for the worst. Well, either way you want to call it, you know, nobody is looking for adversity. You know, nobody is looking for an accident, but that's why they call it accident. Things happen that we don't plan for, you know, or expect, or suddenly, you know, but, you know, we've got to be prayerful. And if you are prayerful enough, God will always make a way. Even when it does happen, how do you endure it and how do you overcome it? We'll be talking about that tomorrow. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to yield it for us to react to today's lesson. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the lesson on overcoming adversity and the things that you have shown us in the Word of God, that we cannot always, you know, blame somebody that is going through just because we think it is their fault. May not be, and yet it may be something that we need to, that could have been prevented. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding. I pray for grace in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we become more prayerful, that we use more of praising the Lord and being thankful and spending time in prayer and in the Word and drawing closer to the Lord and closing the gap. Do not allow the enemy to have any place to strike, and not avoiding fellowship, you know, having strength in numbers and things like that. Praise the Lord. Father, give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us grace. Grant us the gift of discernment, that we may be able to discern even what the enemy is planning. Hallelujah. And to avoid the adversity. The prudent man can discern and foresee the evil, and he will hide himself and avoid a lot of pain. Father, we thank you. Help us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. And should we fall into adversity, Lord, you're going to show us how to endure it. You know, blessed is the man that endured all these temptations and afflictions and adversity. Endure also, Paul said, adversity as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Lord, how to overcome at the end of all of this, because blessed is he that overcometh, for he shall inherit all things. And I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set with my Father in his throne. Lord, you will make us overcomers. You give us the grace to endure. And sometimes, most times, you also give us the grace to escape. He said, be prayerful, Jesus said, that you may escape all these things that are coming. So it means that if we are prayerful enough, we may be able to escape. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our prayer for you and everyone that's in the room today. And I pray that the Lord will help us to be prayerful so that we may escape. Praise the Lord. Be prayerful, you know, so that you may escape. Jesus said, pray that you may escape all these things that are coming upon the world, and that you may be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man as well after escaping, you know. And the Lord has promised that we will escape. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Watch ye therefore, that's also that same vigilance and soberness again, and pray always. You got to do it, that you may be counted worthy to escape. So we see that vigilance and prayerfulness can cause us to escape certain things. Watch and pray that you may be able to escape. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.